Welcome back to another episode of the Mac Rumors Show. Hartley, good afternoon. How's your week going?
It's going well. It's actually really picking up now in the Apple news cycle.
Say, man, tons of things happened yesterday, this morning. We should briefly mention to everyone that's listening to this, apparently the blood oxygen is coming back. It's funny, I just made a video on Apple Watch rumors and I said, who knows when blood oxygen will even come back? Literally yesterday. So well, to answer that, there's an update. It looks like it will be coming back via a software update. Is this one of those like behind the scenes software updates, or is this like the next update that comes out?
So you will need to install the latest version of both iOS and watchOS. And the reliance on iOS in this instance is particularly important because it's a workaround solution that Apple is introducing here. This will be different to the blood oxygen feature as it was before and as it is available outside the United States and on those models that were sold before the import ban. So the way that the feature works now is that it processes the data on your iPhone and displays the reading to you on your iPhone. And this allows Apple to get around this particular patent dispute. Whereas for me in the UK, I can just go into the blood oxygen app, tap start, and I get the reading directly on my watch. You won't be able to do that. You will have to actually use the iPhone separately. But essentially, everyone now get their readings. It just means that you have to jump through a few extra hoops if you're in the US with one of those Series 9, Series 10, or Ultra 2 models.
Is it annoying? A little bit, but is it better than nothing? Sure. If you were somebody that used it a lot and were, hopefully you weren't reliant on it, but if you were somebody that took, you know, some solace in knowing what your blood oxygen levels were, I could have used it when I was in Denver. I know that for sure. The oxygen is very thin, not a lot up there in that elevation. So, it's nice to have. I'm glad that it's somewhat back and Apple figured out a workaround while they continue to settle this out. But yeah, that's some of the news that dropped literally like an hour ago. And then apparently yesterday, a whole bunch of other things have come out, all these leaks about new products. And today we're going to focus on kind of the smart home and Siri aspect of it. So some of the new things that we got for surrounding Siri, and then we'll get into the products in a minute. Apple Intelligence. So the whole, you know, Siri knowing the personalized, your context, all that. We all know the deal. It's been pushed off for so long. It looks like we're kind of making some headway now. So we'll start off with the ChatGPT integration. So OpenAI released ChatGPT 5. Looks like that's going to be coming in iOS 26, right? We're going to get that updated so everybody can enjoy that.
Yeah, so that will pretty much be a background update. So GPT-5's improved reasoning model will now be available via Siri, just like it is right now. It just plugs in and works pretty well when you have a request that Siri can't handle. So it's nice to see at least Apple supporting that new model. I don't think anyone expected them not to, but it's good to have that confirmation.
Right. I think the more important thing here that I'm seeing in some of this information is that the next generation of Siri is now testing with third-party apps. That means that we should be a little bit closer.
Yes, so this is still on track for the spring of next year. And in addition to working with App Intents on Apple apps, Apple has now apparently branched out to third-party apps like Uber, Amazon, plenty of apps that you may want to use directly through Siri, providing it works as it should do. Which will be interesting to see. But it's good that Apple's getting ahead with the testing now, giving it plenty of time. I'd like to think this would have been something they would have been doing a year ago, but here we are.
It's kind of wild that this wasn't something that was done before it was announced.
Yeah.
We don't need to bring up the past. We're just happy that things are moving forward. I do find it hilarious that Temu is on this list of third-party apps that are being... Like, what person is just like, hey, Siri, I need to know exactly where I can get these incredibly cheap items from Temu, please.
Clearly, there are some Temu fans at Apple.
Hey, AllTrails is on here, too. Shout out AllTrails. I used that for the first time ever while I was hiking in Denver because, I live in a place where, I mean, there are trails here and I could go, but it's not something we normally do. But, yeah, great app. So, yeah, a lot of good apps on this list. It's nice to see that that's happening. apparently this LLM Siri is more powerful than personalized Siri, which is coming as early as next spring, like you said. This is all pretty exciting. Are you like excited
Yeah, I think this is really interesting. So this rumor is that Apple is actually potentially going to go further than the features that were initially unveiled at WWDC last year by actually integrating its own LLM directly into Siri. So this would be a new rebuilt version of Siri, which is different to what they initially unveiled. It would still have that functionality, but it will be able to go further. And Apple is also looking at integrating other models to support Siri. There are still some decisions to be made around whether it's going to go with Anthropic or OpenAI or something that has actually been built in-house. But either way, it looks like Apple is finally making some headway to delivering some more serious AI features. And then some of these other rumors go a little bit further into the future. And one of the most interesting ones is giving Siri a visual identity. And we'll talk about this a little bit more with some of the upcoming products. But with regards to its appearance, at least on the iPhone and the iPad, it looks like Apple wants to give Siri a more distinctive and kind of friendly look. So we all know Siri as this waveform.
Super aggressive and mean person now, right?
Well, it's kind of like this amorphous
blob
wave. Like it doesn't really have a personality. Back when Siri debuted on the iPhone 4, 4S, whatever. Yeah, I think it was 4S.
Yeah.
It was just like a little light-up microphone. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much how it remained until iOS 7, when it became the waveform. And obviously, recently, with the move to Apple Intelligence, it's now become this sort of glow around the screen. But it isn't very personal. You're not really aware that you're talking to a more friendly, familiar interface, which is the direction that AI seems to be going in. So what Apple has apparently been testing is a kind of updated version of the Finder icon with this friendly face that would be the face of Siri.
Not sure if I like that or not.
And this would be present across all of the devices that support this new version of Siri, and supposedly will make you feel more like you're engaging with a person. It will be more conversational.
Hey guys, just want to let you know this episode of the Mac Rumor Show is sponsored by Copilot Money. You know how your fitness tracker keeps tabs on your steps, or the weather app warns you about whether or not it's going to rain, but who's keeping an eye on your money? Well, that's where Copilot Money comes in. It's basically a personal CFO living in your pocket. Now, I've been using Copilot for a while now, and I actually enjoy checking my finances for once. Seriously, I was one of those people who would just rather not see what I had going on there because I didn't want it to ruin my day. Everything's in one clean dashboard, though, with Copilot Money. Every transaction, every balance, it's all laid out very clearly. No more guessing where my money went this month. Now, when I say clean, I mean it. This is one of the best designed apps that I've ever used, especially in the finance department. Everything looks incredible and it's super easy to use. Also, I'm clearly not the only one who thinks this, as it was an Apple Design Awards finalist in 2024. And what I love is just how personal it feels. I set up my own spending categories, I get real-time alerts, and their new savings goal feature is my favorite because I can actually watch my vacation fund grow without feeling guilty for spending on dinner once in a while. Plus, Copilot is privacy first and it's totally ad-free. They don't sell your data ever. They just have a straightforward subscription, which honestly feels refreshing these days. Thank you to Copilot Money for sponsoring this episode, and you can get started today at copilot.money and get 2 months free by entering code MacRumors2 when starting your free trial. Again, you get a free 2-month trial when you use the referral code MacRumors2 today. Thanks, Copilot, for sponsoring this episode. I don't know if I like that. I kind of like Siri just being this wave or glow now around my phone.
I like it for the purposes of interacting with apps, and I understand why that works with, say, the app intents and the way that Apple Intelligence was presented last year. But if, say, with a future Home Hub device and it's there on a display that you want to interact with, to be aware that that is kind of a character in your home that you can talk to, it probably is better from a user interface perspective to have a kind of animated face.
It just makes it weird. But yeah, especially if it's the Finder icon, like from the bottom of the Mac, does it just pop up to the middle? Like Clippy? Or you probably don't know Clippy. Do you know Clippy?
I know Clippy. Okay. Well, everyone knows Clippy.
Well, yeah, but that was like, that you never used Clippy though, right? That was well phased out when you became.
No, I used Clippy when Clippy? I was first using computers.
Maybe I'm trying to make myself older than I am, but I just feel like that was something that happened a long time ago. And then I actually don't know when Clippy got phased out. I stopped using Microsoft Word as soon as I had the first ability to stop using Microsoft Word. But yeah, is it going to be like that? That would be cool. Like a little companion character that just follows you around. Hey, it looks like you're having trouble with that Excel sheet. Let's let me help you.
It wouldn't surprise me if that's the direction that we end up going in.
Looks like you're writing an article about Apple leaks, Hartley. Let's stop right there and not do that anymore.
Yeah, I think that'd be pretty handy for Apple.
Yeah, right, to just block you from doing your job. Okay, so that's the kind of stuff that I'm excited about. I want to see, obviously the app intents and all of that's going to be incredibly useful and probably the thing that we use a lot right out of the gate, but getting something that's, a chatbot, like what everybody else has integrated into your devices is just, it's huge. And so we're going to get that. And it's going to look a little bit different. Explain to me this like new listing now that we see Answers, Knowledge and Information Team. So we're just trying to just build up and get even further with is this like a new search engine?
So this is the team that builds the search capabilities behind apps or functionality like Spotlight across all devices. Then things like Safari or App Store search is another really important one. It works better some places than others. But what Apple is apparently looking at doing is powering this kind of functionality with AI and actually potentially spinning this out into a separate app. That would be a standalone search app, or rather Apple's imagining it like an answers app. So it would be for short inquiries, presumably the kind of things that you might throw into ChatGPT today, and then not really continue that conversation, a one-off request. And that would actually be an app that is directly available on all of your devices. I think this is a good move, especially if that is going to be connected to the next generation version of Siri.
I love it. However, I feel like this is just something that should be put into Spotlight. Spotlight exists across almost all of the devices that you would use this, your iPad and your Mac and your iPhone, certainly. Just put it in Spotlight. Aren't most of us just going into Spotlight to type out? Like, that's how I don't know. This is one of those user behavior things where I put it out there and then people are like, I never do that. I feel very confident in that most people use Spotlight. Maybe. I pull it down, I type in my Google search into Spotlight, and then if it doesn't pop up immediately at the top, down at the bottom it says search in Safari, and then that just Googles it for you, basically. Is that how you use Spotlight at all? Or
I'm not a huge Spotlight user beyond just searching for apps. That's the main thing that I use it for. But I agree that a standalone app probably is going to tuck this away a little bit too much.
Yeah.
Really, this kind of AI-powered search should be available system-wide, whether that means searching in the App Store, searching in Spotlight, searching in Safari. And I would like to think that's the direction that Apple is going to go in eventually. But it's interesting that this is another quite separate area, in fact, to Siri, that is yet more AI-powered functionality.
I mean, honestly, now I just use ChatGPT for all of my quick searches. And if I need to go further, then it's great because it's all right there. But yeah, I mean, I typically just search for things via Google and I just do that via Spotlight. So I feel like that makes more sense to me. But again, I don't know how everybody else is doing it. So I'd like to know that from you if you can let us know. That's always great. But all of this plays a huge vital factor into the rumored devices for our smart home. And we got a bunch of leaks and potential confirmation of when things are happening or that they are at least happening. So what this all appeared in a database registry, basically, right? We had all of these code names and stuff for devices that are not currently out.
So With some of them that are coming in the immediate term, like the next generation HomePod Mini, the next generation Apple TV, we got information about things like their chip. Other reports, like about Apple's tabletop robot and the Home Hub, those have come from some reports from Bloomberg's Mark Gurman.
Yes. Well, let's start with that, and then we'll go into the other things, because those are more nailed down, at least. We got more information that way. But Smart Home Hub's a little bit a ways away still, unfortunately. This was what we talked about this for 3-4 years now. It's coming soon. I keep telling people, just wait, because people ask me all the time, when is that going to happen? Should I buy a Nest Hub? And I'm like, no, just hold on. And now it's pushed to next year again, because we need Siri, correct?
That's right. So apparently the hardware engineering on this product was long since completed. It was ready to launch earlier this year.
Yeah.
And the design and hardware and manufacturing teams had completed their work on this device. But unsurprisingly, what held it back was Siri. And because Siri is so essential to the way that this device was envisaged, that is what has delayed this device. And with the next generation version of Siri not being due now until early next year, this device has moved a whole year back, even though it's basically done, apparently. But we know a little bit more about it now. We know that it's going to have a 7-inch display. We know that it's going to have a design very similar to the Nest Hub from Google. The display will be square, sort of placed on a half dome with an integrated speaker. It will have white or black bezels with curved edges. And there is a front-facing camera. So that's a pretty clear picture of that hardware.
I mean, it's basically a Nest Hub or an Echo or all of that, which is fine because that's all we've wanted in the first place. The problem is, this has been out for 10 plus years. Like, we could have had this for forever, and Apple took its time. Probably didn't even really look into it too much until just, you know, the last however many years we've been talking about it. But I understand the ambition and wanting to make this more with the next generation of Siri, but you could have just released it with the hardware as is and some software that could do all of the other things that we don't really need Siri for. You know, if it's got a camera on it, it's probably because of FaceTime. FaceTime works. We know how FaceTime works. It's fine. It doesn't need to be this next generation experience. It's also used to see, right, who is using it. So it's designed to be used by multiple people. I feel like that's something that we could have all just had now. You can play videos on it. You can look at your calendar, listen to music, reminders. Like, I'm happy that Apple didn't release it, because I know we'd all be complaining, like, why did you release something that's not finished? But it is also just taking an insane amount of time for something that's not like a groundbreaking product in the space. But I'm excited because I want something like this to then replace all of the other stuff that's not in the ecosystem that I am currently in. And we will talk about this in a minute. There's some hardware coming for this too that's going to work kind of tandemly, right? Actually, we can just talk about it now if you want.
What do you mean?
You know what I mean. The camera.
What do you mean, the camera?
The ring light camera.
Oh, the doorbell camera.
Yeah, I think this is like huge for, I mean, I know you don't need to have a home hub to like do this, but this is like, if when they announce the home hub, they should announce a camera too. Because
absolutely, yeah.
That's gonna be something that drives people to want to get stuff like this.
And it presents it all as a more cohesive ecosystem.
Yes.
And I think that is the reason why Apple didn't just run with this hardware as it is available, at least as it is rather finished, I should say.
Sure.
Because I think that if that device was available now and Siri was as it is today, we would be saying, it's a great product, but you know, it's really held back by Siri because that's the main way that I want to interact with it. But it just doesn't feel very good. A little bit like something like the Vision Pro, which could be way better with a more powerful Siri. So Apple wants to really hold off to give you a taste of an AI powered future that is in line with Apple's vision for that with this product, sort of being a flagship, at least a product that is built for AI, kind of from the ground up in the way that you're supposed to interact with it, getting all these sort of app snippets that, yes, the device does have a touchscreen, but if you want to send messages with it, if you want to initiate calls or play music, the idea is that you really will do that through Siri. A little bit like a better comparison than an iPad, I think, is actually something like CarPlay, where you have a very simplified version of these apps.
Yeah, but we don't need like a insane version of Siri to achieve all of those things, you know? Like, I understand what they're trying to do for more capability, but all of the stuff that you just mentioned, we can just do via a simple command. It's not that bad. Although, you know, some would argue that it is pretty hard for Siri to do all of these simple commands. So, you know, I get it. I understand. Going back to this door, well, not the doorbell, although there is apparently a doorbell coming with facial recognition and development, but it's more of a just security camera at first.
Right.
I swear to God, if Apple releases something like this and I still see cameras are not responding in the home app, I will lose my mind, because there is a reason why, and I'm probably not alone, but man, so many of the cameras that work with the home app are just terrible. Just absolutely terrible.
And I think that's why Apple really wants to focus on the smart home, because I think it believes that it can deliver a better experience. Mm-hmm. All of these devices are actually quite different that we're talking about today in terms of where they'll be placed in the home and what they'll be for. So with something like the HomePod, that is basically just for music and yeah. podcasts. The little desktop companion, that is a completely different imagined version of an AI supported device, whereas something like the sort of countertop home hub is again different still. So I imagine that the software infrastructure for this is all considered to be part of this next generation home experience.
Yeah. So just to provide a little bit more clarity on this camera, battery could last for several months to a year, which is a funny rumor, because several months, okay, that's pretty standard. A year is great. Which one is it going to be? That's a pretty yeah. large. That's a pretty, like, I have a ring everywhere right now. And my cameras, when I get tons of like notifications, do not last very long. So it would be great if Apple can solve that whole battery thing. Obviously, they're going to probably use Apple Intelligence somewhere, facial recognition for that whole thing. Provide smarter notifications. I'm just guessing. I'm projecting. Stop me if you think that I'm way off, but I feel like I could just see the marketing now for this. But what do you think?
No, I completely agree. And a key part of this device is also supposed to be facial recognition, whether it's for the doorbell or whether it's for the camera that's placed inside the home. Yeah. And apparently the way that Apple envisions this is that you will have this camera placed in your home, looking into your home. And then you can use this to support automations or to display content on your other devices based on who is present.
Yeah.
And with, obviously, it will have things like motion sensing, facial recognition, which is available on other cameras right now.
Sure.
But it isn't particularly useful in the context of controlling the smart home.
Yeah. I also just don't love having a camera on in my house while I'm home. But, you know, I get it and people do it. It's fine. But I usually just have them turn on when I'm not at home, because that's usually when I need it. But I'm excited for that. The robot companion, do you want to spend a little bit of time on this? I still find this to be incredibly goofy, I'm going to be honest with you. And in my mind, I don't take it seriously, but I feel like I'm being told by a lot of these leaks and rumors that I should take this seriously and that this is in fact a real product. But like, when you think of a Pixar lamp that it's being referred to as something that will follow you around, that just seems very un-Apple-like to me. And I don't know why. Like, do you also get that feeling, or am I just the only one?
It's very different, but I think yes. we would have said that Apple having a service called Apple TV Plus that makes movies and TV shows, if we'd yeah. said that 10 years ago, we would have said that was very un-Apple-like and kind of weird.
Speaking of Apple TV Plus, do you remember the first show that launched with it?
The Morning Show?
Well, that was one of them. But like, one of the first shows that I remember seeing on it was that Planet of the Apps show.
Yeah.
I completely forgot about that. And then I saw a tweet from, I think it might have been Quinn Nelson yesterday or a couple days ago, that said it was all, you know, just a few days ago, it feels like, when we had shows like Planet of the Apps. And I definitely found that to be funny, because I forgot about that.
Yeah, I forgot all about that too.
So many good shows. I mean, you think of Severance and Shrinking and Ted Lasso and all of the shows that are Silo, just incredible shows. The first few shows that launched, one of them that was immediately available was Planet of the Apps.
And Carpool Karaoke, and Carpool these little karaoke. Tiny shows.
I don't know that. Was Morning Show day one ready? I feel like those were like the day one ready shows. And then it was like,
I think some of them, like Carpool Karaoke, were available weirdly first in Apple Music, yes, even though they were theoretically Apple TV originals.
That's what it was. It was, yeah, it was still in Apple Music before we even got the Apple TV Plus app. Oh, yeah. I mean, Apple TV Plus still makes more sense to me than a robot that follows, because there's just not a lot of them around. And when you do think of devices that follow you around, I feel like people think that is a novelty item and they say, why the hell do I need something like that? So that's what makes it weird to me.
It is different, but I can see the vision with this device. The idea of it following you around, so it doesn't physically like roll around your room.
Right, right.
What it is, it's on a fixed base, like a lamp, and then has this articulated arm that can move. I think the report said it can move
6 inches,
in any direction.
Yeah.
So the idea of a device that if you're a taller person or a shorter person, it reorients to your height naturally. And also if you walk around it and you walk from one side of the room to the other, it follows you, or you move up to it and it moves to eye level, perhaps. That does make it feel like it's got personality, and you can introduce kind of animations and natural motion with that arm that does give this visual version of Siri a lot more character, which may make you a lot more inclined to interact with it as though it is a more personal presence. Because apparently Apple wants this device to interrupt you in conversation. It wants to be fully present. It wants to be very similar to OpenAI's ChatGPT voice mode, but always be there, ever present, happy to interrupt, and being involved in your day-to-day interactions. And I understand why a kind of static, fixed device doing that might feel a bit less annoying than something that's got character, and something that, if it moves for you when you interact with it, I think that just makes it a little bit less weird. And actually, in that sense, does have the sense of fun that Apple actually does do very well and did do very well in the 2000s, was doing things just because they were cool or just because they were fun, or
having
they made technology
fun
to interact with. So I kind of get it in that sense. And also it is undeniably useful for things like video calls. Center stage is pretty useful, but with your iPad, you still have to move that thing around. Having that on a countertop, you know, if you have it on a kitchen island, say, now it can rotate around as necessary.
If it's not limited to just using FaceTime, and if it can use other third-party video calls, I can see this being popular in like offices too. You know, people that don't have to buy these intricate systems, they can just get one of these things and put it on the desk, especially if the quality is any good. Cameras on Apple's front, like, I feel like all selfie cams, FaceTime cameras are just never good. I don't know why Apple invests nothing into this. Lately, it's been better, but man, do you remember some of the early MacBook cameras?
Oh, they're, yeah. Going back to like the 12-inch MacBook.
And
it had a 720p camera, which even by then was really out of date. But I feel like Apple's front-facing cameras have got a lot better. And considering that on this device, recognizing who's using it and video calls will be such a key part of how it's used, I think that they will not cheap out on the camera. This effectively is a more high-end version of that initial home hub that will be offered next year. And the other thing I would note with this is that this is seen as a robot device. Mm-hmm. Apple is investing a lot in robotics. That is supposedly where Apple wants to move in the future. In addition to the Vision product lineup, Apple wants to eventually have actual fully fledged personal robots, and is having conversations about how those machines could accomplish tasks within the home. We know that this is something that Tesla is very interested in doing, and robotics is a growing space, and it looks like Apple doesn't want to be caught wrong-footed there like it has in AI, and to some extent how it has been in the realm of AR and VR. Yeah. So this device is kind of the first Apple robot. And this probably will be one of many that get more and more advanced in terms of what they can do and the extent of their actual physical mobility as well.
So basically, we can say it's safe to say that the robot companion little hub here and the smart home hub are going to be fairly similar in the sense of like the UI and the display portion of it and what it can do. But then obviously the robotic one becomes a robot basically and can follow you in the directions that you are moving in, correct?
Yeah, so I suppose it's a more high-end version of it.
High-end version, yeah. Well, that's all of the like future stuff, but coming fairly soon, I would imagine, would be a new HomePod Mini and an Apple TV. We can kind of touch on those briefly since we got some more confirmation on what's going to be inside. We can start with the HomePod Mini. I guess the chip leaked, correct? S11?
Yeah, so this is a pretty significant chip update for the HomePod Mini. Right now, the HomePod Mini contains the S5 chip, which is basically the same as the S4. It's just a renamed version of the S4, which actually is now out of production, the S4. So that's from the Apple Watch Series 4, which is long since no longer supported. So moving up to the S11 would be a major upgrade. Although, again, that's kind of a rebadged version of the S10, which is a more compact version of the S9. So it still is a lot more powerful. It's skipping, if you like, four generations in terms of the chips. So that's pretty exciting. More interesting than that is the Apple Bluetooth and Wi-Fi chip, which is... Yes. As yet unreleased and should unlock some new capabilities like Wi-Fi 6E support, which you may think, why would you care about that on a HomePod? But plenty of people actually do because the HomePod right now only supports Wi-Fi 4. Most people's Wi-Fi setups are now a little bit beyond Wi-Fi 4. So it would be nice to get that future-proofed because latency with the HomePod is really important. Yeah. I think plenty of us have the experience of making a HomePod query and it being delayed by network issues. So that is pretty useful. Bluetooth as well. And even ultra wideband, because the S9 and S10 contain Apple's next generation ultra wideband chip. The HomePod Mini was the first HomePod to have that new handoff experience. And it works pretty well, but not super reliably. So a next generation ultra wideband chip should enable a much better handoff experience and potentially some crazy new capabilities if Apple chooses to implement them. Like, let's say you had two stereo HomePod Minis and you moved one and it was aware because of that ultra wideband chip that it was further away, then it could recalibrate that stereo sound. In theory, that's not a rumored feature, but it's just kind of what could be available as a result of this updated hardware.
Yeah, and hopefully that all just improves some sound quality too. You know, we need room for improvement since the first, this would be Gen 2, right?
Yeah, so the initial HomePod Mini is nearly 5 years old now.
Yeah, it launched, it's never been updated.
In, I think it was October 2020 alongside the iPhone 12, and it's remained pretty much the same ever since. We've got Space Gray swapped out for Midnight. Other than that, it's just the same.
Yep. And it's supposed to come later this year. I'm guessing not at the iPhone event, but probably, October, November?
I mean, the HomePod Mini debuted alongside the iPhone 12. I don't see why this can't come alongside the iPhone 17. And it contains the S11, which is debuting in the next generation Apple Watches.
I don't either, but I feel like if they did that, because the Apple TV was the other thing we were going to talk about briefly, and there's really not a lot to it besides we know now that it's going to be an A17 Pro, which is also a pretty significant update, considering that we came from what before? A14? 15?
A15.
A15. So that's a pretty big jump, you know, to a Pro chip. Is that going to improve some gaming capabilities there?
It should definitely improve gaming capabilities, but the thing I am most interested in is that the A17 Pro is the oldest chip that supports Apple Intelligence.
Yeah.
And that is why right now you can access Apple Intelligence on your iPhone 15 Pro and Pro Max, and indeed in your HomePod, in your iPad Mini. Yep. That also supports it because of that chip. Does that mean that the next generation Apple TV will be the first Apple TV to support Apple Intelligence? I would certainly like to think so, at least with ChatGPT integration in Siri. That really should be there.
That would be interesting. That would kind of make this a pretty good upgrade if you're somebody that, I guess, wants to do that on your TV.
And if we are getting this visual version of Siri and the Home Hub next year, and that is all very Apple intelligence focused, I would really like to think that the Apple TV available on sale at that time will also support it.
So that's what, and that's what I'm saying, though, but that's two products extra. And I feel like Apple lately has really just been kind of honing things down to just iPhone and Apple Watch at these events over the last few years, unless I'm misremembering.
AirPods 2.
When?
The last AirPods 4. AirPods 4. And
feels
also
like an eternity to me.
So I can imagine there being more than just the iPhone and Apple Watch at this iPhone event. Because there's so much in the pipeline.
The last HomePod and Apple TV upgrades we got, though, I believe those were not at the event. I know the Apple TV was in November. Like, it came, I think it was like November 3rd or 2nd or something, real early in November. And I feel like the HomePod, when the big HomePod got
the
updated,
HomePod was press release.
Press, yeah. So there you go. Wasn't the Apple TV press release, or was that? I don't even remember anymore.
I actually also don't remember about that.
Yeah, I feel like that also didn't get an event. I feel like there was some things that happened like at the end of October, and then they were officially on sale like first week in November. That's the only thing that's sticking with me. And that was like two different studios ago. That's how I am basing time for me, is that I was in an entirely different location twice from the last time that we got a HomePod or an Apple TV. But yeah, I mean, those are some things that are coming down the pipe. A lot of exciting stuff with Siri, if it can deliver all of the things that Apple keeps hyping it up. And I feel like Apple is starting to prop up Siri again, don't you think? Like, I feel like I've been seeing a lot of quotes that are being pulled about what's coming with Siri and all of that, which is a dangerous game considering where we're at right now currently with this whole Siri thing. But it is sparking some excitement, and I'd be interested to see if they can stick to their next year timeline.
I agree. And I think that the proof will really be in the pudding with this, but I think Apple understands how important it is, especially with where it wants to go with these smart home products. It could have not made AI the core of these smart home products, but I think Apple is starting to understand its importance and is making these investments. I think the most interesting aspect that really reveals how wholeheartedly invested in this it is the fact that it's looking at different AI models to underpin Siri. It's not wedded to using its own. It's happy to use OpenAI. It's happy to use something from Anthropic. And it will go with whatever will deliver those features. It's a much more aggressive strategy. And I think it'll be very interesting to see Apple starting to catch up going into next year. And there's a lot of new hardware in the pipeline.
And that's always exciting for me. And I would imagine those of you who are listening are also probably excited about this. But let us know in the comments, emails, tweets, whatever. And yeah, we'll catch everybody in next week's episode.